You're listening to the Electronic Media Collective Podcast Network. Yeah, it's a mouthful. For more great shows, like the one you're about to enjoy, visit electronicmediacollective.com. And now, our feature presentation.
So, Pig. Nicolas Cage. Pig. He's going crazy. Nicolas Cage. My opening's crazy like he is. Eric, how the hell are you doing?
What the hell kind of opening was that?
Because I don't know what to say, but anyway, go ahead. Because I wanted to be crazy, but not too crazy.
This movie wasn't as crazy. This movie wasn't bees in the birdcage crazy.
Fine, fair enough.
Can we agree to that already, first and foremost?
Yeah, we can. Yeah. Tonight we're talking about Pig, a movie that a lot of people have not seen, but according to Rotten Tomatoes, it's like over a 90%. So evidently this is a great movie, right?
It is getting great reviews right now. It has a slow roll. It was a directorial debut by Michael Cernofsky, who wrote and directed this movie. I believe he did a co-producer. And he's got a lot of credits on this movie. Story, screenplay, directed, produced.
Right.
Produced also by Nick Cage, too. But in the world where Nick Cage cannot say no to a role, we are blessed, I will say, with a variety of movies, and this was one such movie. Now, before I watched this, what took me was already, by the way, just seeing Nicolas Cage in a movie called Pig, about a pig. I was like, okay, you know what? I'm already on board with it. That sounds dumb enough to where I'm going to check into this one. But we get to see a trailer. Did you watch the trailer before watching this movie?
I did. I watched the trailer before I pressed play. Yes.
What did you think of the trailer?
Not impressed.
What were your expectations going into this movie? Because a lot of people were thinking a John Wick-esque movie.
What I wanted was his Five Nights at Freddy's ripoff. What I wanted, and what the movie should have given me, was a John Wick ripoff. This movie did not do that. I had no feelings of the trailer. I'm like, okay, I'm going to watch this. Let's see where this goes. And boy, did it go. It took off. I was not ready for this movie.
You know who would love this movie is Ryan.
Yes, Ryan would. We're saying this on air. Okay, yes, no. Ryan probably would have hang up the call twice already by now.
Don't say it like that. But I think because there's a lot in this movie and there's a good tone that resonates throughout the movie. There's a lot of arcs in this. I wanted to talk about that because I really feel that whatever vision the director had, whatever artistic integrity he was going for, he really accomplished it. I think I got what he was trying to say in this movie. There were just little arrows little bits that kind of led you on the trail just a bit more, and that's what I think. Listen, to start from the beginning, Jordan, it seems like you are just holding back something right now that you're ready to just kind of Nick Cage it, right? You're going to be that's what you're doing right now. You're going to be quiet right here in the beginning, and then suddenly right. There's going to be a peak where you just lose it.
Look, okay, fine. So, for me, I watched the trailer, Eric. I sat down. I'm watching the movie. I'm watching him get truffles, doing his whole thing in the beginning. It's fine. I am with the movie. But once we go to Hotel Portland, I say out loud to myself, oh, this is a joke. This is not supposed to be serious. Because this movie can't be serious. I mean, like, it's just... My struggle is to try to decide if this is a serious movie or is this supposed to be some sort of a dark comedy? Because I was laughing from Hotel Portland all the way to the credits. Literally. Like I'm not exaggerating.
Walk me through it then. Walk me how you got there. Because I took it as a different tone then. Okay. I think because I was so bewildered at what was happening and I was invested into what was going to happen next because I really, at this point, couldn't guess what was going to happen next.
No, you can't after Hotel Polar. So what happens is that we get introduced to Nicolas Cage, who plays Rob.
Well, he plays a nameless man at the beginning, and then this is again a benefit of only having seen this trailer once and not really reading anything about it, is this introduction to this character who is nameless. He is off the grid. He is a hermit. He is in the woods. He seems very happy and content with just living this life that he's living with this truffle pig. They go in the woods in the morning. They forage. They come back. He seems to just craft his meals. He doesn't even, you know what I mean? He doesn't make it. He just seems to have everything there, and he just is able to just kind of make these beautiful, like, little mincemeat pies or whatever he's making, a little spinach pie. And in trade, he gets a visit from a character. Let me pull it up.
I thought it was Amir.
Amir. Once a week, every Thursday, and he is picking up, assuming that he's some sort of distributor, right? Or owner of a restaurant, his own chain. And he picks up truffles, the best truffles, I'm sure, in Portland, from Nick Cage.
Right. I mean that's the beginning. I'm with it. He has a truffle pig. I kind of chuckled because it's like there's such a thing as a truffle pig, but okay. It's fine. It's Nick Cage. I was reading some reviews about this, Eric, before I watched it too, and they were like, this is the best Nicolas Cage performance since whatever movie he'd done recently that was great. So I'm like, okay, there is some dramatic chops here. Let's see what's going on. Truffle pig, everything you say, I am with it. Until one day or one evening, people show up and attack him and also take the pig.
Yep.
Take the pig. He doesn't know what's going on at all. And he wakes up and he gets into a truck and drives to the local town to get a call to – I'm sorry. What'd you say his name was?
Amir.
And Amir has to pick him up in this really ridiculous Bumblebee Camaro. And Amir's like, what's going on? He's somebody stole my pig. And I'm like, okay, that's kind of funny. So Amir, what, takes him to Portland, Oregon, right?
Yeah, assuming that's the closest metropolis that they're in. By the way, did you say there is no such thing as a truffle pig? Because there certainly is.
Is there such thing as a truffle pig?
Yeah, they actually have a pretty keen nose for sniffing out that type of root or fungus. And
okay, I was wrong.
Yeah, actually, as I was looking it up, apparently truffle pigs can average around $10,000 a pop if you want a good one.
Okay, all right. Well, I never heard of it. I kind of laughed because Jordan and truffles don't have a relationship. I'm sure I've had a truffle. Whatever.
Chocolate but truffles are.
But I've never heard of a truffle pig. Like somebody saying, you know, this is, I don't know, a ham hound. Yeah, it's just stupid. But I guess the part where I want to talk about.
They're very smart creatures.
Is that his pig gets stolen. He's trying to find his pig. And he gets help. And he goes to Portland, and he looks terrible. He has a beard, long hair, his clothes are bad, and he's going to this fancy restaurant, right? And he's talking to Amir, and he's saying, hey, we're going to Hotel Portland to find my pig. And Amir's like, there's no such thing as Hotel Portland or Portland Hotel or whatever. He's like, no, dude, no, there is. And he goes into this underground.
Don't they go into the restaurant first? Doesn't he ask in a favor?
They go to the restaurant, but then they also go to this outside festival. And he meets a guy and he hands him food. You know what I'm talking about?
Oh, yeah, that's what it was. It was exactly.
Right. He hands him food. I'm like, what is going on with the food? Right. And then at this Hotel Portland thing, which was demolished or bulldozed. Fire, whatever happened, Hotel Portland doesn't exist anymore until you go underground. And this is where I realized the movie's a joke. Is It's an underground waiter chef fight club. You've heard it here first, folks. It is an underground fight club where, from what I'm assuming, and I could be wrong from the way that people are dressed, chefs will stand still with their hands behind their back, not fighting back, and waiters will wage who has the most money to beat the living shit out of the chef and see how long the chef can last.
Yep.
That's what I take from it.
Rob and Amir infiltrate an underground fighting ring run by Edgar, an old acquaintance of Rob, who provides another clue to whereabouts of Rob's pig. Doesn't really give much more as far as the underground fight, but yeah, it looked as though that scene was supposed to establish Rob Robin, Nicolas Cage's character, the importance or who this nameless man is.
Right. And this guy, Rob, we don't know his story yet, but he's in this underground. So I'm laughing, Eric. Like, I'm truly laughing.
And you know what? I'm not going to blame you for it. That it is, again, is everything that's happening right now is just like, what the hell is happening? He goes to the wall, writes his name. That's basically putting it up for bid, the highest bidder, and then beats the shit out
waiter.
Of him.
This waiter guy, I'm assuming.
Yeah, I mean, bus, whatever the hell, you know, bellhop. Anything.
Anything. It's. I mean, and again, I'm not laughing at the movie. I'm laughing with the movie, like fucking Suicide Squad. Like, this is crazy. This movie starts out with a hermit and a truffle pig, and his pig gets stolen, and he's trying to find out where the pig is because he needs the pig to find the truffles so he can get supplies. And now he's getting his face pummeled by a waiter in an underground fight club because he writes his name on it, and everybody's like, "Ooh, Rob!"
So he gets what he wants out of it, though, and that's a name, right, or a place?
He gets a name and a place, yeah.
To I guess continue his search for the pig. This is the length that he's willing to go to save his pig.
Eric, I'm sorry, man. I can't do it. This is stupid.
But okay, so it's beyond you then. So the next morning, then.
Okay, go on.
So the next morning, Amir's making him breakfast and gives him a kind of a happy tale, you know, of
right.
his parents, because we can sense that Amir is his battle is with his parents. We're fighting right. more that it was very a rough one that they were fighting and things like that, but he. Recalls that there was a happy moment one time at a dinner that they went to at a restaurant many, many, many years ago, right? And then he says that his mom committed suicide, that it was more likely his father's fault that drove her to that as well, too.
Right. And that's the thing, too, is that, you know, but this dinner that and he was describing.
Go ahead, yes?
I'm saying that this dinner that he was describing was like his last saving grace moment of happiness. This dinner at this fancy restaurant in Portland, Oregon was like the happiest moment of his life.
Yeah.
Do you see the funniness? But go ahead.
It wasn't the happiest moment of his life, but it was just one that they remember. You come on, you have to like remember like a happy moment with your parents, maybe. Like, you know, the day like at the zoo or something.
Sure.
At the park, you know, yeah. You know, we're both kids of divorce here. So, I mean, obviously things got rough at the end there, Jordan. And, you know, I'm trying to – there's some relatability there, yeah?
I mean, sure. I mean, for me, my parents divorced when I was a month, so I don't even recall, of course, clearly.
Excuse me then.
Yes, but no, it's just funny to me because, like, again, at this point in the movie, when we get the Underground Fight Club, I am laughing the entire time. And then when – he says, you know, this one meal. I'm like, sure, you remember the zoo. You remember a trip. You remember whatever you can remember as childhood. You don't sit down and remember how special a dinner was, meaning that clearly something is going on with Nicolas Cage's character that we're going to find out later to just make him seem more than what he really is, if that makes sense to you.
But that's what this movie is. It's the slow reveal of this character, more and more of who he is. And then on the other arc of it, we get Amir, a character who we also are learning about along with this person. Do you understand? Like, that's there was a lot that kind of went into both of these characters and into the construction of it, just because, again, as this movie progressed, we learned more and more through their actions and inactions through each other. It was
sure.
That's I guess where I am appreciating the writing in this.
Sure, I mean, like, writing is thought out completely. Like I said before, buddy, I mean, like, I understand what's going on. I'm just saying I'm just laughing because sure. It's ridiculous.
Okay.
That's all I'm saying to you. I mean, I get it. There's an A, B, and C. We have character arcs. Sure.
Don't challenge remember. We all remember some weird stuff. You can remember some weird things that's just like, why do I remember that?
Maybe I'm just vanilla.
No, it's just memory is just kind of a weird thing. And I think that we got this one memory because obviously we're going to get it's foreshadowing.
Right. So then we go to another restaurant too after this breakfast.
But
it's really, really.
Sorry. They don't say that it was at Rob's restaurant though.
No, because he didn't know who Rob was at the time.
Right.
He didn't know.
So that's, again, I think that's.
But Rob did. Rob did because the camera decided to linger on Nicolas Cage when Amir is saying everything. So that right there tells me, either A, Nicolas Cage is the owner or was the owner of this restaurant,
mm-hmm.
or B, he was the chef.
He remembers every meal I ever made and whoever I served or whatever.
Sure. Probably. Yeah. So then we get into one of the worst actors and best actors that I have seen in quite some time. But they go to another restaurant. Again, Nicolas Cage looking absolutely a mess. And they go to this hoity-toity, fancy, white-collar restaurant. And there is a chef there. And he wants to speak to the chef. He wants to speak to the chef about their meal. And the chef comes in with his horse teeth and his blonde hair. And very annoying. This actor did a great job. I'm actually going to say that this is the best actor in the movie, the chef, because he is trying to smile, be polite with those weird teeth. He is uncomfortable. He knows who this guy is, Rob, but he doesn't want to say who this guy is. And when Rob pretty much belittled him and tried to also bring him up after he brought him down, I thought that the actor did great facial expression acting. Truly, seriously,
I agree with that, because just like you said, that he's when he first reunites, I guess we'll call him that, with Rob, he has that fake smile a bit, you know, and that's what he's called out on. It's like you sold out.
Yeah, you sold out. You wanted to make a pub.
You wanted to do something else, but now you're being this dude. You're being this hipster dude that's catering to the garbage, the toxic demand of the industry.
Right. And Robin said that you worked for me in the kitchen, but I fired you. But before I fired you, I asked you what you wanted to do, and you said you wanted to have a pub. Like, I think that the chef at the restaurant had a great character arc, had a great realization. I thoroughly enjoyed that scene a lot. Really did. So much so that I rewound it and watched it again. Just because I thoroughly enjoyed just that whole setup of a guy who sold out. Really thought it was really good. But again, this movie's called Pig. Nicolas Cage is trying to find his pig. And the chef with the fake smile says, I pretty much know who has your pig, but, you know, kind of a thing. Like,
yeah.
So therefore, Nicolas Cage knows that it's Amir's dad. And is he a gangster? Is he a wannabe gangster?
No,
is he a restaurateur?
I think he's just a boss.
He says he's just a guy who owns a lot of fancy restaurants, maybe.
It's, you know what I mean? Like, I think they're trying to allude that at a certain point, you know what I mean? When, like, when you hit a dollar amount, you can kind of, you know, just get your way. Like, this guy obviously has enough to where he's just like, listen, how much are we talking here? What do you know? Well, he's just one of those guys. He's got fuck you money.
Okay, fine. He has fuck you money. And Nicolas Cage find out that Amir sold him out to his dad, and his dad knows about Nicolas Cage and about the pig, and his dad ordered the kidnapping of the pig. Was that clear?
Yeah, Amir was talking about it. I believe said in passing, or unknowingly had kind of said what the pig was, or who had it, or whatever the hell. And Darius pieced it all together. At first, he was just like, "Listen, how about I just give you money and you just forget about the pig? You can buy a new one. It's no problem. I'll just give you some money." And Rob's like, "No, it's obviously more than that. It's principle." Well, hold on. Let me read up here.
Why reading up though is that Nicolas Cage confronts Amir, and Amir's like saying, "No, dude, I didn't tell anybody about you." Blah 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 blah. And then Nicolas Cage finally gets it out of him, and Amir says, "Yeah, I told my dad." So Nicolas Cage steals a bike, goes sees the dad, and he's just like, "Hey, bud, where's the pig?" And the dad's offering money. But is it clear in the movie why the dad stole the pig? Because if it's not clear, I have a theory.
Yeah, it's not clear if you're asking them, but I know he offered them the money to just be like, "Hey, just forget about it. Don't worry about it. And we just forget about that." And I think he brought up the mother, Rob did, and it kind of ended the scene of it being a hostile one, which then he leaves the house and Amir picks him up. But we get the shot of Amir visiting his mother, who we find is actually alive in a coma, and what we can assume is in a failed suicide attempt, right? Mm-hmm. Which kind of makes it worse.
Which kind of makes it worse, yeah.
Yeah, that she's not dead, that she's just this vegetable that's there as a constant reminder, you know. But he goes to pick up Rob from his dad's house. Rob admits to Amir that he doesn't actually need the pick to hunt the truffles.
He just
appreciates the companionship and loves her. I think that he was finding these truffles. You know what I mean? I don't need the pig to find the truffles. You know, it's the trees or something that tells you or something like that. That's what he said. Or the moss. But the companionship of the pig is why he loves her. And no, he doesn't fuck the pig.
You had to say that. So they come up with a plan.
He said that.
And Amir has to get all these ingredients. We know Rob used to be Portland's Gordon Ramsay. Something happened in Rob's life. We don't know or yet at this point, maybe. And he is going to make the same dish to Amir's dad that he made to him years ago with the family. So here's my question. And this is why I wanted to ask you about it, because I don't know if it's clear or not. What was the point of Amir's dad stealing the pig? Was it because Amir's dad wanted to relive that last meal before his family got broken apart?
No. I think one of two things. I think that there was a looming threat that his son seemed to be doing well and was on the rise. And this may have been a way for him to kind of put, you know, an axe in that to prevent his son from being too successful, maybe just out of spite, out of jealousy, whatever, out of just playing the game. That's one that I think. The other, it could just be that they know that Amir's been getting these bomb-ass truffles, and they assume that it's because of the pig smelling out these awesome truffles. That is a $2 million pig. That is some pig.
I call bullshit then, because if the movie says that, call bullshit, because Nicolas Cage makes this meal, and this meal is just so good that it makes Amir's dad weep.
So hold on, we get the whole sequence where they, after this, Rob goes to get a baguette from his baker. He sends Amir to go get some wine from him, the personal stash, right? Mm-hmm. And it was at the mausoleum containing Lori's body. Lori being, I guess, Rob's ex or something like that. And then they get, what do they get? Like some sort of, what is that thing?
They get all these ingredients. That's what
they get.
They
all the ingredients, and they go back to the house, and they basically just ratatouille the shit out of the dad.
Right. So this is what I call bullshit, Eric. because to me, it would make sense for how crazy this movie is the dad knows who Nicolas Cage is. This is my version. The dad knows who Nicolas Cage is, steals the pig to get him out of hiding so he can make that last meal that he had with his wife and child before all hell broke
loose. No, there's no way he would know that. There's no way he would know that. What happened is that we know from the restaurant scene with Derek, that fake-ass waiter, that Rob seems to have this innate ability to kind of just see through a person. You know, he's, I don't know if he's on the spectrum or whatever they wanted it, they had to put it at his superpower or whatever they wanted to declare it as, but he has this ability to kind of see the truth in people. And the one that he sees, I believe, in this family, from the person who stole his pig, the reason, a way for him to get through to this person, just be like, hey man, just give me my pig back. You don't have to give me all this. You did a bad deed. Let me do something to you, you know, turn the other cheek, you know, to this person so that in goodwill he could get his pig back. Because it works. It happens in this movie. That's kind of who we're seeing this character as, is that he's willing to kind of take the worst from somebody or take somebody's kind of fakeness and just channel it and then turn it out to be like, no, this isn't you. You don't need to do this. And this is what I got from this. He heard Amir's story. He remembered, connected the dots that, oh, it was this. It was this meal that I made. And so he remade that meal. And it was a beautiful moment to me. I know it's kind of ridiculous because it's Ratatouille. But for me, what I got is that Darius is brought to tears over eating the meal because he remembers. Everything comes crashing down. That about his wife. And about just where he's at in life and what he's done, about how he's pushing away his son because of this. This movie, after that, set a tone. It set kind of what this movie was about. It's everything is how people are dealing with the loss of something. This was a therapy movie because this is the traumatic outcome of how people, every character in this movie was dealing with a loss of some way. Amir was dealing with the loss of his mother, obviously, but in doing so, he wanted more acceptance from his father. And so you could see that he's very much repeating his father's footsteps, trying to win his approval, liking the same music that he likes, the classical music, because we heard in the house that Darius listens to classical music, and his son is not only listening to his classical music in his car, but listening to the theory of why it's better than most, trying to really understand how to get a connection between his father, you know, and he ends up being a competitor. Dad pushes him away. His dad is dealing with the same loss of the mother because he realizes, you know, what has happened. He's so guilt-ridden that he's just consumed by work instead. He's just like, okay, I'll just seize everything, take everything over, and, you know, just kind of do that. That's what I got out of this movie. And then Rob himself is dealing with the loss of Lori, we can only assume, because maybe he worked too much in the kitchen, you know, and never had enough time for her. Or maybe she left. That could be another thing, too, is because he was doing so much. And the only thing that he has at the end of the movie is a tape of her, and that's him. He's so heartbroken that he's come this reclusive person in the woods to just shut everybody else off. So he has no more emotion. And the only one that he has is from a pig. This is the big part of this movie that I got from. As silly as it may be. Because I understand it. This is a very kind of like a one-hour photo S type of thing where it's just like, I know this feels kind of artsy, but also it seems very silly.
Sure. I mean, I guess you could definitely go with that. I saw a different movie. And not because of Nicolas Cage. This role could be played by anybody, truly. So it's not because of Nicolas Cage. For me, this movie is a complete joke. It's not to be taken seriously at all. And I feel that this is white, rich people problems, that it's just ridiculous. We're going to follow the movie. Literally, Nicolas Cage's character is the Gordon Ramsay of Portland, Oregon. Or that's the way that people talked to him about.
He's just a chef. You get whatever he's chef not, you want to put in there. He's the Wolfgang Puck. He's, you know what I mean? You could put whatever on there. He's the Remy from Ratatouille. He is the chef, or at least was the chef. Fine.
He was the chef. I mean, we are literally following a movie about a chef. We are watching a movie about a chef who goes to an underground fight club. We're watching a movie called Pig where he's trying to find a pig because clearly his wife Lori died. Clearly. They don't specify.
If you're trying to make this movie sound like absurd, we've reviewed way more absurd this year.
Right.
This movie is not out of the realm of impossible.
I'm not saying that this movie is bad. I'm just saying that this is the movie that I saw. That's all I'm getting at. I'm just getting at a movie that once we get to that underground fight club scene, like I've said a few times already in this review, I realize what I'm getting. Everything after this is not to be taken seriously. A guy wept because of a meal. That's ridiculous to me. To me, that's funny to me. That is crazy. I would love a steak. I would love nothing more than a medium rare steak with some sweet potatoes and some fries. I'm not going to cry because of it. It's crazy.
Hey, Jordan.
Yes.
What if that meal was the last meal that you had with Gina before she died?
Maybe. I guess.
Does that hit differently?
I mean, maybe.
Would that hit differently? What if that was the last meal that you had before she went into a forever coma?
Because you tried to kill her. Yes, fine. It would hit differently. I get that, but that's not what the character or the actor is giving me in that role, because he just seems like a fucking good fella. He just seems like a guy who's a complete dick, and he wants to pay off Rob $25,000 for a pig. Why steal the pig? Because your son's a competitor?
Again, this is – it was an industry move. That's what I got of why. It wasn't because he wanted to have one last meal or anything like that. That right there is ridiculous and funny to me. No, he was – I don't know if he was doing it out of spite because, again, is that how he's dealing with the loss? Is that he's become so consumed in his work that he's preventing his son from coming up past him or over him? You know what? Those were some hints that I got from this movie, Jordan. So that's what I think that it was. And obviously it went horribly wrong because whatever meth addicts that he paid to steal killed the pig anyway.
Right. I mean, like he even said that people killed the pig, and Nicolas Cage ends the movie exactly where he began, just alone without a pig at this point.
It's a vulnerability. It showed that Nicolas Cage can point to whoever's innermost darkest weakness, whoever is holding on to it. That's what I saw in this movie, and the one thing that was vulnerable was this man's guilt, is that he's hidden behind this tough mobster image. Don't fuck with me. I'll just, pay you 10 times over just to get out of here or anything like that. But instead of all the money in the world, he hit him with this. He hit him with that one reminder of that refresher of that guilt, that fresh thing that this guy will forever have to live with. And that's what breaks him. That's how he breaks these people. And that's what I got to see in this movie. A psychological movie.
For me, this movie is in the same category as Jojo Rabbit, as Swiss Army Men. Just this artsy movie that's trying to be clever.
Those are great movies, Jordan.
Right. In your opinion, in my opinion, they're not.
Sure.
And I feel before we get into our popcorn ratings that maybe without stumbling over myself, I should try to give why I feel that those movies are not great, in my opinion, compared to this. And it's just because this movie feels like those movies because I feel like it's too smart for its own good. I feel that those movies are trying to show itself to an audience that's not really large. I feel that those movies have a lot to say and have a lot of good things to say in them, but the execution of those movies just are not as up to par as I want them to be. I would say that The Godfather, this kind of movie genre, will probably be maybe crazy, but maybe American Psycho, love that movie. And I feel that American Psycho, JoJo, Swiss Army Men, and this movie is kind of in the same category, where there's a lot more going on than what you really think is going on. Just movies that we all know who people are listening to. But to me, it was a comedy. I keep on saying it. I was laughing all the way through from the Fight Club because
Does that mean you enjoyed it then? Or is it just...
Well, let's get into it. Eric, what is your popcorn rating for Pig?
Well, I guess... I didn't know what to expect in this movie, and going into it, I really didn't know what was going to happen. But because of it, this is how I interpreted this movie. It's kind of like this this candy coated, you know what I mean? Like a candy coated kind of sweet on the outside, kind of big and meaty in the inside type of thing. A lot to digest. I don't know, candy coated hamburger or something like that. I don't know. We'll work on that. Okay, we'll work on that. But where it looks like one thing from the outside, but once you get into really a lot more of the character and there wasn't really a whole lot of plot in this. It was really a lot more just characters and just their growth. You know, that was the story, was their interactions with each other. It wasn't so much a scene change here besides the Portland Hotel type of thing, you know, but there was a lot to an onion maybe. There was a lot to peel back in this movie. It really did come in layers, and each one could be interpreted, I think, very differently. You can take each scene in this and take something more to it, because it adds something more to it. This kind of like a picture kind of, yeah, you know, you're just slowly scratching it off, and the more and more you scratch, the more and more you get to see what this picture looks like. And that's what I got. That's what I really enjoyed about this movie, is that it rewarded whoever was watching it from the character's point of view, from that writing. We got to learn more about everybody as the movie progressed. Any question that I had, I think, was already answered in the movie. I wasn't left going, well, what about this or what about that? I think it told a very complete story in 90 minutes, by the way, too. Right. So I think it was short. Nick Cage did, I think, a fantastic job in this movie. Did the character require a lot of, like, technical? No, not really. It didn't need to be so. It didn't need to be so crafted, this character. You know, you just needed to be piercing, dry, confident almost, and just almost bothered constantly by everybody. You know, like, not everyone in here is worth your time. Like, you know, like almost like a side of like, oh, I need to go back to reality again or to society again. And Nick Cage did it very well. I'm sure many other actors could have done the same thing. But I liked Adam Arkin as the dad in this, too. The guy who played Amir was okay. He was fine. I think anyone could have done that as well, too. He actually might have been better as recasted, but he was fine. I didn't have any complaints about him. I enjoyed this movie. I really did. I've been recommending it to people just because I wanted to talk about it and see what other people felt. I don't expect any awards for the characters, for the actors. I would hope maybe something for the writing. It's a great debut. I'm hoping to see more from this guy, Michael Sarnowski. So yeah, I give it a large back. I really do. I enjoyed it. Listen, it was simple. It got to the point. It was short. It just checked all the boxes for me. It really did. I understand how it could be silly. Same with like Swiss Army Man, and that's a great comparison, Jordan. I really do think so. That you have like this veil of silly over a serious movie to kind of maybe help it go down a bit more. I understand completely why other people would think otherwise too. I've read online that a lot of people thought this was, again, going to be a John Wick type of thing, and so their expectations were completely shattered when they come into this movie and got, well, not any guns, not any any mass murders of any kind in this movie. And they were probably thinking, yeah, they were probably preparing themselves for something and they got nothing. So I can understand that too. But there's a lot of other people that feel the same way that I do as well. That's just like, no, this was all in all a complete movie. So yeah, I might regret that bad choice later, but for now I'm sticking to it.
It's all right. Go ahead and give it a large bag. I do not agree at all. I mean, I wasn't interested in this movie. We were supposed to watch another movie, but we end up having to switch the schedule and review this. You have raved about the movie. That's why we put it on the schedule. So, all right, Eric, I'm going to go with you on this ride. You say let's check it out. We're going to check it out. I'm not disappointed that I checked it out. Here's the thing for me. The movie's done nothing to me. And unfortunately, a lot of movies recently have not done anything to tickle my fancy, I guess is the word. Mm-hmm. The movies hits the right beats. The movie is shot well. The movie's edited well. All the technical stuff that I review with, it's there. It's just better than a Jurassic World movie when it comes to that aspect. But it's Nicolas Cage. And I think the problem with this movie is that you just don't cast Nicolas Cage in this role. If you cast Ryan Gosling, Jared Leto, Tom Hardy, I think this movie would have hit differently. But because you know it's Nicolas Cage, you are expecting crazy. And I think that if I would have had any other actor in this role, I probably would not have laughed all the way till the end from the Fight Club scene onward. Maybe. I don't know. I don't like this movie. I don't think this movie is great. I think this movie is a nice little premiere for this individual who has wrote, directed everything. I think it's very ironic. I think that it's very funny. I mean, it's just waiters beating the shit out of chefs in the Fight Club is just hilarious to me. And stealing a pig, in my opinion, for real no reason. They don't specify the reason in the movie why he steals the pig. The title is wrong. Look, overall, I'm not going to just keep on wasting time. I think it's a small bag. I don't think it's great. I think there's a lot of stupid things with it. I think it's a stupid movie. I literally think it's a stupid movie. But then again, I think Jojo Rabbit is a stupid movie. And I also think that Swiss Army Man is an extreme stupid movie. I would give Jojo Rabbit, which we did, and I also reviewed Swiss Army Man. Both of them get no bags for me. So, I mean, like, this movie did something better. It gave me a small bag because I chuckled. But I guess this kind of movie is just not my thing. So okay. I don't think it's good. It's just my opinion, small bag for me. I figured you would give this one a large. I think that you were hoping that I would be on your team on this one.
No, to be honest, I just wanted to know what you thought of it. And it's not that I was hoping that you were going to go the opposite, but that was the one thing that I wanted in reading the reviews, was to really have a conversation with these people. Like, what was so unlikable about this movie? What did I see that you didn't? Or what did you see that I didn't in this movie to make it not a good movie? I just don't understand. It seemed, I don't know, obvious to me. I don't want to make that sound insulting. Maybe I can use a better word for it. But it just seemed like whatever message was, how about this? It was relatable. And I caught on to it. I latched on to it instantly. Maybe because I had relatable kind of feelings of how to deal with a loss. Of,
sure.
You know, whether it be of, well, in this part, it's a, of a loved one. In three different scenarios, you know, a loved one of a pet, a loved one of a mother, of a paternal figure, you know, a maternal figure, of one of your parents, or of a son, you know. I think there was something to be said there, and there's probably a lot more to interpret from this movie. But I just think that it was just kind of all there. I'm not going to defend the hotel scene. I understand that. I don't know if they could have done that a different way to show more credibility to who Robin was, rather than just being beat up by the highest bidding waiter who made, you know, his tips that night.
Right.
And which is kind of a silly thing. I don't know if, yeah, they may have done, I don't know, maybe like if you were to like walk through a restaurant or something like that, you know. And have people be like, hey, well, you can't, oh, wait a minute, oh, sir, you know, and then kind of had that realization of like, man, who the hell is this guy? Because that was working for me. Of this,
of course,
like,
it was.
Who is this person? And we get to find out a little bit more of it. But I'm glad that you disagree, because we can talk, because this movie really is a hate it or love it.
No, yeah, this movie definitely is that. And Eric, I guess to go off what you're saying, I think the Fight Club thing could have been told differently, then yes, I would be on board with you. But it's just my eyes, my opinion. I'm watching this movie, and then, I mean, just out of nowhere have a Fight Club scene of waiters beating the shit out of chefs, I realized, oh, this is a joke. This is not to be taken seriously. okay, I get it now. Like, that's kind of what it was. So for the rest of the movie, I saw a different movie than you did. I may have seen a movie different than somebody else who really loves it. I see that as all a joke because there's no way this can be taken seriously. That's the way I interpret it. But then again, it's just not my movie. It's not my movie. That's why I give it a small. We review worse.
Is it not just the CD? Is it because it's Nick Cage too?
That's what it is.
If it was a different actor, do you think
if that was Gosling? If that was Leto, if Ryan Reynolds, even I probably would have gone with it more. But it's Nick fucking Cage, not the bees. I mean, you and I are around the same age. We are early 30 millennials. We grew up with YouTube's Nicolas Cage Gone Crazy compilation. I mean, this guy is known to be fucking batshit crazy. So for him to be with a truffle pig as a hermit, hey, no big deal. Because what, not even a year ago, he was ripping off Five Freddy, whatever, Chuck E. Cheese thing.
You said you've watched Community, right? The TV show?
Few, but I was never into it.
Oh, man. There's an episode where in the college class, they teach a class on Nicolas Cage. Mm. And one of the characters, Abed, who's, you know, kind of like this movie buff, more than we will ever be, sir. And he tries to do a report on Nicolas Cage, and it ends up breaking him because is he bad? Is he good? Nobody knows.
Nobody knows. I mean, we'll end the show with this. I'm a 90s Nicolas Cage fan, not an 80s. Didn't like a lot of his movies that he did. I mean, hell, we reviewed him just this time last year with Valley Girl, if you remember that.
I do remember that. It was on the other day.
I mean, Vampire's Kiss. Clearly that is the American Psycho, if you want to go with, of the 80s.
Also in Fast Times at Ridgemont High that we did a few years ago.
That's the same. Yeah, that was last year too. I mean, like, so, but 90s Nicolas Cage, you know, he gives me Face Off and he gives me The Rock, and I'm with him, hook, line, sinker, Con Air.
Oh, yeah.
Right. I mean, that's like the trilogy that I know. You also have, you know, Leaving Las Vegas and all this stuff. But then ever since he got into, you know, Wicker Man, the guy's just gone bonkers.
Yeah.
He's just yelling and screaming constantly. And I don't get it.
That's his shtick, I guess, right?
And he doesn't do it in this movie, but yes, I guess to close out the show, Eric, to not drag it out, I think you're right, and I even brought that point up in the show as well, in the middle of the show, where I said if it wasn't Nicolas Cage, maybe I would go with it, but I am waiting for that Cageism. You know what I mean? I'm waiting. Oh, there's Underground Fight Club. Okay, where's the Cageisms? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, I'm waiting. And now this is a joke. And he's being offered $25,000 for a pig. And a guy weeps at a meal. And it's truffles and horse teeth. And just, okay, this is crazy. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, this is bad shit. So, overall, you're going to give it a large. I'm going to give it a small. That's fine. That's a part of the show. We don't agree on everything. But we hope everybody who is listening can agree that if you like this episode, continue to go to movieguyspodcast.podbean.com to get all the other episodes that we've ever done for the past 6 years now. Just type into our search bar any movie you can think of, and it will be there. Also, make sure to check us out on any social media platform. And wherever you get your podcast from, we are on. If you're listening to us from Spotify, Amazon Music, Pandora, or also Podbean or Apple Podcast. Make sure to check us out there. Eric, thank you so much for joining me, and we'll be back next week for another awesome episode. Have a good night.